All right. Well, good morning for a third time. It's good to be here with you this morning. Kevin is out, so there were no bulletins this morning. Kevin is our bulletin guy, something I think we need to resolve, but we'll work on that. But that's one of the reasons we didn't have bulletins this morning. So he is planning to be back next week, like I said before, so we look forward to him. I am not Pastor Kevin. I am Dave Finney. I'm part of the leadership team here. I am not as good an orator as Pastor Kevin. I'm not as smart as Pastor Dennis, and I'm definitely not as tall as Kevin. So just make sure we know the difference. Who's talking up here? So good morning and happy New Year. I had the opportunity to talk to you at Thanksgiving and do Thanksgiving message. It was unintended that I was going to do the New Year's message, but with Pastor Kevin being sick, it's been a significant struggle for him for the last 2 weeks. He is feeling better and he will be back next week. So just some New Year's statistics, and no, Carol, I didn't use any of your stuff, so just so you know. So 39% of U.S. adults set New Year's resolutions every year. Anybody? Good. 59% of young adults have New Year's resolutions. 52% focus on one, and 47% focus on two or multiples. People over 55 are 3.1 times less likely to have resolutions compared to younger adults. You know why that is? Because we know they don't work. So what's the point? Why bother? 54% of parents with children have New Year's resolutions, which mostly includes not having any more children. Just so you're wondering. So some of the more common New Year's resolutions are exercise more, eat healthier, lose weight, save more money, pursue a career ambition, spend less time on social media. How many of you are social media addicted? I didn't think so. Take up a new hobby, cut down on drinking. I'm seeing a few of you going. I see the eyes going down on a few. Renovate the house, spend more time with your family, do more charity work, give up smoking, raise money for charity. So these are noble, they're personal, and they're things that you might want to accomplish, and they're great. There's nothing wrong with having goals and setting goals. But 23% quit in the first week. The second Friday in January was called Quitting Friday because most people have quit by Quitting Friday. So 9% successfully keep their New Year's resolutions. So hopefully I can explain to you why I think that is. But New Year seems to be a time for a change, so something new. It's to begin something new. That's why we call this New Beginnings this morning. So you get up January 1st and you say, today I'm going to do whatever. And then you go look in your fridge and say, oh, there's a ton of holiday leftovers. I'll start tomorrow. Yeah. Right? So you really never get started. You've already failed your New Year's resolution. So when you look at some of the resolutions like losing weight or exercise, quit smoking, they're all about remaking you, in a sense remaking who you are in the moment. You're really trying to essentially make yourself into something new. You're trying a new beginning. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to do whatever will make me feel about myself and allow you to present yourself differently to the world. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is there's only a 9% success rate. So kind of leads you to believe that remaking or renewing yourself isn't that easy, right? It's not the easiest thing we do. It takes work. It takes dedication to the cause. It takes commitment. And the first time any real challenge hits you, you quit. Is anybody there with me? How many times have you started something and then 2 days later you're going, ah, it's too hard. Oh, I'm gonna lose weight. Oh, there's a party on January 5th. So there we go. Already done. Well, I'll wait till January 6th. Then we have the leftover issue. So in order to do this right, in order to remake yourself and make yourself into something new or have a new attitude, you need to have tools. So weight loss programs, exercise routines, they're all good and they're all useful, but you have to include some accountability. You can't do it yourself. You need other folks that are on the same road, working with the same addictions or the same habits or whatever it is that you're trying to break, to encourage you and hold you accountable to meet your goals. It's hard to make yourself new on your own, just simply hard. It's hard to get up today and say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to will myself into being something new. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to... It doesn't work. Trust me, I've done it. I did it yesterday. Changing habits, changing routines, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that those are built into us sometimes over a lifetime. They're not something we just started yesterday and we can stop tomorrow. They're something that we've been doing for years or decades or all of our life. Yeah, smoking, overeating, without exercising those types of things. So we just don't get up one day and say we're going to be different. It can happen, but for the most part, as humans, making a major change is always hard, and it's going to be hard. I see some head nodding. That's good. That's why resolutions have a 91% failure rate, because it's hard. Don't give up. Continue to work on those things that you want to change, that you want to become new about you, through all the failures and successes, because there will be both. Find some, get a program, get some accountability, have somebody work this through with you, and your chances of success will be much better. So today we're going to look at the Bible, of course, and this is going to be a topical discussion this morning. So we're going to be jumping around a little bit. I don't expect you to follow me. I didn't put any slide. I'm not going to be clicking through slides today like I usually do, like I like to. But I'm using the NLT for those of you that are not using the if you can keep up with me and you find a Bible verse, the NLT translation. So note that there are probably some differences between your translation and what I'm using. I just think the NLT teaches a little better. So we're going to look at what Scripture says about new beginnings and how the Lord has made us new in Him and how we can continue to grow and mature in Him and the benefits we have of being these new creations, these new people. When we're made new in the Lord, unlike those resolutions that we can't keep, we have a built-in support system that allows us to mature and grow in Him. We have the church where we worship and study and pray, and we can help each other and come alongside each other so we're not doing it on our own. There's also accountability as the Lord has given us His Word as a tool to live by, and He's surrounded us with fellow believers that have a shared experience that can encourage us or can admonish us as we need it. How many of you like to be admonished? Don't think so. And we also have the Holy Spirit who lives in us and helps us as we grow. So the Lord has made us new creations, new beginnings, or people in Christ, and He's given us the support system where we can grow into spiritually mature believers. So this is not about becoming physically new. It's about becoming spiritually new. New creations are people in Christ. Not as the world sees us when we're thin and we're in better shape and we're not smoking and drinking anymore. A bunch of drunken, smoking sailors. None of that. It's how God sees us in Christ. That's what's important here. It's about walking with the Lord and building our Christian character. So let's jump in. We're going to start with 2 Corinthians 5:17. To some of you out there, that may have been the obvious starting point. And I'm going to tell you, I cheated a little this time. I had verses in my head. I kind of had an outline going. But I used Microsoft Copilot. And I said, hey, outline me a New Year's sermon. And amazingly enough, the AI program came up with exactly the same verses I was going to use. So I'm as smart as AI. It's awesome. Or AI is as smart as me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, new beginnings. The old life is gone. The new life, new beginnings, has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul writes, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Keep that in mind. He created us anew. Keep that in mind in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. We're His masterpiece. He created us anew, and He's given us good things to do. So there's no resolution on our part. There's no work on our part. God has saved us by His grace and made us new, and He's also given us a new purpose for our lives. We didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to be a Christian today and make myself new and completely change my life. God did that. He called us. We accepted His free gift of salvation, and we became these new creatures in Christ, these new people in Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So because we are these new creations or people in Christ, we have a new position with Him. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. At His right hand in Jesus, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we have this wonderful eternal future that we get to look forward to. Those are the benefits of being this new creature. All because God saved us and made us into those new creatures. You don't have to strive. You don't have to give resolutions or resolve. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to try and fail. You just have to believe. And you have to believe that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. That's why he came into the world. That's why we celebrated communion. Then by God's grace, you are made new. You are a new person in Christ. So if we continue on in 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 18, it says, "And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to the world through us." To the world, I just threw that in there. "We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for your sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So he's made us new creatures with a purpose. So we're new. New beginnings, new creatures, new people in Christ with a purpose. And that purpose is we are his ambassadors. We're appealing to the world to believe in Jesus as their Savior. He's tasked us with sharing the gospel so that others might become new creatures in Christ, like us. Right? We'll have a bigger family. It's, in my opinion, it's pretty cool that we get to be a part of it. He didn't just save us for ourselves. He saved us for others. Does that make sense? How many of you have seen people come to Christ because of your influence? Like the coolest thing in the world. You don't know what cog you were on the chain. You don't know how much influence you are, but you know that you've talked to somebody. You know that you've shared with somebody. You know that you've lived a life that reflects the Lord, and suddenly they become a believer. Maybe, well, maybe not sudden. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years, and maybe 10 years, but sudden. And you sit back and go, yeah, I shared. I don't know what the Lord did with that, but I was able to share with that person. I've had that happen to me several times in the motorcycle ministry and in the church, and it is just absolutely the coolest thing. I don't take any credit for it. I'm just doing what the Lord called me to do as an ambassador, and he does the work. He changes the heart. So I know that all of us are praying for someone or someones, many people. I would encourage you to keep, we're pleading with them to come back to God. Keep doing that. As I believe the Lord is faithful to our prayers for salvation. It may take, I wasn't saved till I was 40. I had a lot of people praying for me, and I didn't get saved till I was 40. So it can happen. Not the normal way. It's usually you're younger, but me and Jim Birmingham, my buddy Jimmy Birmingham, both saved at 40. So the good news about being a new creature in Christ is that God is faithful to us in the past and the present. If you take a look at just back at the past year, you're going to be able to see, even though you've had some rough times, you will see God's faithfulness to you. You have to be able to see that. You have to look back and go, wow, look what happened there. I thought that was bad, but it turned out to be good, or God walked me through that. So he's taken care of you. He's protected you, or he's grown you in a certain way. You know, James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials so that you can develop some sort of perseverance after the Lord. So you can look forward to his faithfulness in 2025. You don't have to, you look back. We look back in order to look forward. We look back and say, wow, look at the way the Lord took care of me through all this. Then when stuff gets rough in 2025, you can say, well, he took care of me great in 2024. I know he's going to do it now. Put your faith and hope and trust in him. Our life is not easy, but God is always faithful. You can look back at your year no matter what and see what happened, and he know that he was there with you all along. Lamentations 3:22 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His miracles never cease. Great is his faithfulness, his mercy," or his compassions in your translation, "begin new," new beginnings, "each morning." Every morning God is doing something new in your life. "I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him." So we're going to sing a closing hymn today, one of the great all-time hymns, you'll note, is "Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Believe it. Accept it. Understand it. Grab a hold of it. The Lord is faithful. Every day, no matter what our day looks like, the Lord is faithful to his promise to love us, to care for us, to guide us, to keep our inheritance waiting for us in heaven. That's super important, our inheritance waiting for us in heaven. You're not going to lose it. It's not going anywhere. Even though we struggle with our sin, with our health, whatever it is, he's always faithful in his mercies and compassions towards us every day. Anybody disagree with that? Well, you're not going to say it now, right? But, I mean, think about it. When you go home, think about, do I agree that the Lord is faithful to me every day? That he is taking care of me every day? That he is true to his promises to me? Hebrews 13:15 says, God will never leave us or forsake us. And this isn't the only place that he said it. He said it about 10 times in through all of Scripture. I will never leave you or forsake you. Land there. That's his faithfulness. He will never leave us or forsake us. So we can count on his faithfulness to us despite our lack of faithfulness to him and our inability to believe and trust in him at times. And we all do it. So no matter what happened in the past, no matter what will happen in the future, God will always be faithful to us. He will always be merciful and compassionate towards us. You can count on it. That's a promise he has made to us as those new creations, those new people in Christ with those new beginnings. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. We can trust him because he is faithful to keep his promise to love us and care for us each and every day. So what do we do? Now we're new creatures. We know that the Lord is faithful to us. We're saved. We're out being ambassadors for Christ. What should we do? So we should maybe have set some spiritual goals. In Philippians 3, Paul says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Jesus. If you are living in the past, you will never get into the future. You're going to have a hard enough time getting in the present to be in today if you're pulling all this junk from your past forward. Paul says, I don't look back. I only look forward. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? The stuff, the beatings, and everything that Paul went through, forgets about them. Going forward, always chasing after Jesus, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So we want to set some spiritual goals like Paul did. He's telling the Philippians that he hadn't attained all his goals. So if we go back up to verse 10, it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul wants to know Jesus more intimately, and he wants to experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power from the Holy Spirit, and he wants to become more like Jesus day by day. He wants the power to carry out his ministry of reconciliation, to be the best ambassador for Christ he can be until the Lord calls him home. That should be our goal, too, to be more like Jesus each and every day. We have the power to do it. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're sitting at the right hand of God. We have an eternal future. It's there. So how do we do that? We renew our minds, because everything starts in the head. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So becoming more like Christ starts here in our heads. We learn who he is by studying his word, by worshiping, by serving in the church. And gradually we come to know him better and begin to see his will for our lives, not our own. We figure out that the Lord wants what is best for us, which is to live his way, and that it pleases God to live his way. But only by renewing our minds can we understand what his will is and strive to be like Paul and become more and more like him every day. Look, you got a Bible. You got a lot of podcasts. There's all kinds of books you can read. You don't have to not know who the Lord is, and you don't not have to know what his will for your life is. It's, 700,000 words. I mean, it was written over 1,500 years. This is an important document. All you have to do is pick it up and read and say, probably should be doing that and not that. Right? Does that make sense? We need to be learners or disciples. Then to truly know the Lord, we need to be doers. Okay? Being just a learner isn't going to accomplish much in the way of renewing our minds. We have to put what we learn into action. I've used this analogy before. If I go out and I buy, and this is an old analogy, so you're all going to say, what? Some of you younger people may not even know what an iPod is. But you go out and you buy an iPod to record music and play music. You pick up the instruction book, you read the whole manual, you memorize the whole manual, and you never record or play music. What's the point? If you're going to read the manual, you need to be doing what the manual tells you to do. Okay? So a little, you don't like to be admonished? I just admonished you. So, James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. You will not grow in your faith or become more like Jesus if you're not learning from his word and putting what you've learned into action. It's just not renewing your mind. It's acting on what you know and what you know he wants you to do. So we live with a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's handiwork. Remember, we already talked about that. created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us in advance to do. So we need to live purposely. We need to say to ourselves, I want to be like Jesus and do what he's called me to do. Be an ambassador, serve, use my gifts. It's an act of the will to renew our minds and then to strive to be like him until he calls us home. It's work. All of us have gifts that we can use to the benefit of others. Our purpose is not just to take care of ourselves. God has gifted us to serve and to take care of others. So he's given us gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides what gift each person should have. So the Lord has given us all gifts to help each other. It doesn't matter what your gift is. Figure it out and get to work. Another admonishment. Figure it out and get to work. It might be leadership or compassion or teaching or hospitality or giving. You might be a prayer warrior interceding with the Lord on behalf of others. And for some of us, as we age, it gets more difficult to serve physically. It gets difficult to stand. It gets difficult to walk. We may be in financial straits because, you know, we're on a more fixed income. But you can always be an intercessory prayer warrior. You can always be praying for the church. You can always be praying for people, for salvation. People can come to you and say, will you pray for me? You say, yes, I'll do that, because that's the ministry that I have at this point in time. Does that make sense? Whatever it is, whatever good gifts the Lord has given you, when he made you into that new person, that new beginning, figure it out and get to work. Be doers, just not hearers. That's the way the gospel gets shared with people and people come to Christ. Not just by words, but by actions. And I will tell you, your actions speak a lot louder than your words a lot of times. We need, so particularly in the church right now, we need sound people, we need video people, we need ushers, we need greeters, we need help in kids ministry and youth ministry. And in order to make these services work, we need people serving. So thank you for those that are serving. Look, these aren't heavy work items. They're not heavy lifts. It's not like we're putting a burden on your back and going, oh my gosh, no. It's a couple hours a weekend. For those of you that are thinking I'm a nut, well, thank you. Many of you here can help with those things. And understand, our gifts may not just be used in the church. Some of you are doing great work outside of the church, and that's okay too. The gifts that God has given us translate well into our community, our neighborhood, our job, our family, other organizations, and any other place you might go. I have a ministry on the golf course. It's weird, but I do. You know, I talk to people all the time. Love the Lord. I meet guys, new guys every 3 or 4 days whenever I'm out there. Talk to them about the Lord. Invite them to Westside. You can see how many have come. None. But at least I'm inviting. So at least I'm out there talking to people. Our gifts, so there aren't a whole lot of places to serve in a smaller church like ours. We do need people, but eventually we're going to run out of capacity. So even though I mentioned we just need help, but there are opportunities to serve in places outside the church. We have a couple of missions, like Gospel Rescue Mission. For those of you that know Karen Brown, she handles that for us. You can cook, you can deliver food, you can send gift cards. There's a lot of things you can do to help that. And it's right here in Prescott. Get your hands on it. There's also New Song. David Voorhees is helping us out with that. Pastor, I don't see Moby or Pastor Randy this morning, but they are here from New Song, and we've helped them a little bit. David's doing some work. Pat Ramsey out in the lobby is doing some work with them. They're here in Prescott as well. So there are places that you can use your gifts that aren't necessarily in the church. I have Black Sheep. I have the golf course. You know, I have other places that I've been able to help. And, of course, we've been able to help a lot of people financially as well, because God has gifted us that way. So gratitude for God's provision, always be grateful for your salvation, and always be faithful for God's faithfulness grateful for God's faithfulness towards you and everything he's done for you and all the good gifts he's given you. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Everything we have, everything we've done, everything that's happened in your life, good or bad, has shaped you into who you are today, whether you like it or not. Okay? His mercy, be thankful for all that the Lord has given you. His mercies and compassions towards you, and especially for the promise of a perfect eternity with him in heaven. If you remain in that line of thinking, that the eternal perspective is what I call it, knowing that this life we're just passing through, but there's this wonderful, great, thing that's going to happen to us when we die and go to heaven and be with Jesus for eternity. It helps you put things in perspective. Yeah, I know there's pain. I know there's suffering. I get it. Been through it myself, watching my great friend Jimmy V go through it. It's hard at times. But I will tell you, that man has an eternal perspective. He didn't think of anything but heaven. And he's trying to get everybody else to go with him. So, and that's the way it should be. And it eases his pain. It eases his suffering because he knows the Lord has given him a platform. So it's pretty amazing. So be thankful. And where am I at? Be grateful for everything. Everything you have, everything you've done, his mercies and compassions. Life can be hard, like I said. And then persevere in your faith. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By any means, run after Jesus. Don't walk. Run. It's the best place that you can be. Renew your mind. Be thankful for everything. Study, worship, serve, use your gifts. Be the best ambassador for Jesus that you can be. Do the work the Lord has called you to do. Be the best spouse, the best parent, the best grandparent, the best friend you can be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Experience that power that raised Jesus from the dead. You don't need resolutions. You just need to run hard after Jesus. We're not him, but the more you become like him, the less you'll be entangled by those things that have gotten you to the point where you need resolutions to begin with. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Understand his will, what he wants for you in your life. Study, read, pray, worship. Do all of those things. Gather with your church family. I was asked the other day about home groups. That's great. If you want to start a home Bible study, please do that. Gather your friends and families once a week or once every other week at your house and continue to grow in your faith. They're a great way. Home groups are a great way to, we don't sponsor them in the church yet, but they're a great way for you to do life together with people, that people that are in your life all the time, that are helping you when you're sick and encouraging when you're down. So do that. Don't be afraid to run after Jesus in some way you haven't run before. So I'm going to leave you with a couple of quotes. I'm actually done a little earlier than I thought I would be because I have 100 pages of content, which I just read through really quickly. But I'll leave you with a couple of quotes from famous Christians. Anybody heard of Jerry Bridges? All right, Jerry Bridges is a pretty famous author. He's passed now a couple of decades ago, but has some really good writing. So if you get a chance to stick your nose in a couple of his books. So often we try to develop Christian character, that's becoming this new person, and conduct without taking time to develop a God-centered devotion. Run after Jesus. We try to please God without taking the time to walk with him and develop a relationship with him. This is impossible to do. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Run after him, as Paul says. And then Corrie Ten Boom says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We may not. We aren't going to know what's going to happen when we walk out the door of this church, whether the Detroit Lions win or not. You know, I don't know that. I don't know anything that's going to happen. I don't even know what I'm going to have for lunch. But I am trusting the unknown to the known. I am saying, hey, 2025. I don't know. I have a plan. You know, we buy insurance and we do all of those things and we plan our vacations. We're already working on that for August, but we don't know. But I'm going to leave that in the hands of a known God. I'm going to leave that in his hands to work out whatever purpose and whatever his will is for our lives in the next year. We're going to keep trucking along. We're going to keep making plans and keep doing things, keep putting on our clothes and eating in the morning and going and serving and doing the things that we do. But we don't know how he's going to bless that, and we don't know how his graces and his mercies are going to show up every day for us. But we have confidence that we have a known God that has promised to be faithful and has promised his will. He will help us and be there for us, and he'll never stop loving us, and he'll never take away that eternal future, and that is so, so good. So thank you for bearing with me this morning. Like I said, I am not Pastor Kevin. I'm going to plan on grow a few inches so I can be as tall. And But I hopefully you have a good day and a good week. And we all get back here next week when Pastor Kevin is back. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time together. Thank you thank you for your faithfulness towards us. Thank you for all the things that you do, those little things that we don't even realize that you do. Thank you for our health and our well-being and our financial health, Lord. And I just pray that as we go into 2025, that you would remind us that you're with us, that you are always faithful. Help us to be faithful to you in everything that we do. And Lord, help us run after you. In Jesus' name, amen.